Welcome to another podcast in our series for the International Chamber of Commerce UK branch. This is ICC's World Business Podcast recorded in London on the 25th September 2017. I'm Jonathan Harvey and I am joined by Daniel Crosby, Partner in International Trade and Managing Partner of the Geneva Office of King & Spalding, and ICC United Kingdom's Chris Southworth, who are both on the line. Daniel, what are your thoughts after Theresa May's Brexit speech in Florence? What do you think international investors should take away from the speech?
Thanks, Jonathan. So here in Geneva, we look at everything through the prism of how Great Britain, its Prime Minister, is acting with respect to its international partners and allies, and in this case, the EU, from her speech in Florence, where the big news headline was that she was being more conciliatory or playing a bit nice. And that's also great. But from our perspective here, we thought that that's kind of should be non-news, because if the UK is getting headlines because they're playing nice with their closest neighbors, they could just wait until they get into a situation where they have to directly deal in the Geneva and UN context with China and India and Brazil and the really big countries that are difficult negotiators. You know, the UK will need to make it a pretty good habit to negotiate nicely and in a conciliatory and constructive way. I mean, I know it's a different context with Brexit, and it's good to see, but that approach to negotiations will have to be duplicated for the other negotiations that are to come.
Thank you, Daniel. Theresa May made some pointed remarks at the UN and the need to reform. Is this fair? What is your experience of working with the UN?
Okay, so the UN is an organization that the UK and the other member countries are members of, and they pay dues and they hold their officials accountable who administer the UN organization. And so it's fair to make suggestions and criticize mistakes, but that's not new. That's, you know, countries with a certain perspective of the international system make those criticisms all the time. The key difference will be the follow-up and suggestions for constructive and conciliatory sometimes and positive suggestions for reform. And I guess we would look forward to seeing what the substance of those suggestions are of how the UN could do better, because you asked about my experience, and the private sector doesn't really have a seat at the UN table. So we all, as businesses, need to find ways to communicate with the UN and look for officials there who have a mind to cooperate with business, because they think that the business agenda is positive and advances UN members' interests. Here in Geneva, we've had a very positive experience finding ways to explain to governments why it's important to cooperate with business. And so I would say it's difficult, but it has to be done because there's no alternative. So my experience of working with the UN, it's difficult, but it's got to be done. And I think the ICC United Kingdom is going to be the leader in that process of being the voice for UK business. Lest we forget, the ICC generally is the only and first accredited business organization before the United Nations. So it's exactly your role to be communicating the business view to the UN.
Yeah, if I could jump in there, John. I mean, I think it's very easy to criticise from the outside. I mean, you can point the same criticisms at any of the international institutions, including the ICC, actually. But with any institution, reform is always needed. I don't think there's no end game to that. It's just a continual process. But at the end of the day, as Daniel's saying, there is no other organisation or entity that sits above governments at a national level, holds them to account, and promotes the overall macro agenda, which is about ending poverty, promoting shared prosperity, and trying to keep the world peaceful and secure. That is ultimately what the UN is there to do, with all its relative and numerous agencies. So is it a perfect institution? No, it's not. But it's in everybody's interest to try and make that a success. And it doesn't really help, I think, sometimes, if you're standing off and making criticism without coming forward with practical solutions. I have to say that Britain has a terrific track record here, actually, of putting solutions on the table. So although there is a sort of element of critique, I think actually Britain would do better to focus really on the solutions and coming forward. It's got this incredible diplomatic resource and sits in some very privileged forums within the UN as an organisation. It's about utilising those to its best ability, and then for the business community now to really get involved and help facilitate as well. You know, there is an element of business diplomacy that's required here, not to just leave it to the politicians, but to actually get involved in agendas that are of mutual interest. And clearly trade, international business and commerce is absolutely in the interests of the private sector.
Mm. Thank you both. Thousands of companies are convening in Geneva this week for the WTO Public Forum. What is the forum for, and why should companies care?
Good question. So the Public Forum was created in order to, I think, push back against the criticism or view of the world that the WTO was some closed negotiating body where big interests make decisions for everybody else. And this allows all the interests to come in, whether you're an NGO or a business or an academic or a government, to come in and present your view of what is going on and what should be going on. So it's really just an annual event that allows ideas to be aired. It allows businesses to come in and hear about what's going on, to learn. And by sitting there, they learn about what their own interests might be and how to engage to advance their own interests and voice their interests through the proper channels here in Geneva. I would say that it's interesting that every public forum has a theme, and this year the theme is trade behind the headlines. And this is the most difficult part, I would say, for UK companies, for the ICC, United Kingdom, that trade is something that we take for granted. Now, like you took membership in the EU to be for granted, or we take the WTO itself for granted. And it's only when those things come under threat that we then try to figure out what those rules are and why they were and are important to us. So this is a time that behind the headlines of all the, you know, hormones and GMOs and aircraft and all these kind of big name things, how do UK businesses benefit from these rules, and what can they do? How can they engage to increase their benefit from participating in this WTO system?
Thank you, Daniel.
Yeah, if I just chip in a little bit there, I mean, I completely support that. I mean, yeah, I think the WTO actually is it's much smaller than you think, actually. I've learned a lot being down here a few times over the last year. But ultimately, the WTO is made up of governments and all their respective missions and representatives. The actual team within the WTO is surprisingly thin. You know, they work really hard, but they very much rely on that resource coming in from governments themselves. This is an absolutely perfect opportunity to actually understand the WTO and what it does. And it's amazing how open and accessible the officials are for the sort of wealth of work that they've got on. So I think it's really down to us within the private sector to really kind of reach out and do our bit. They can only do so much, and after that it's down to the rest of us to really get involved and support positive initiatives that are really positive for trade, positive for jobs, positive for investment. You know, let's not forget that without a rules-based approach, it's a bit of a free-for-all. And it was a free-for-all before the UN, before World War I, before the ICC was actually created. There was no global framework. But World trade has been transformed. Jobs have transformed. Prosperity has been transformed. 40% of the world now have been lifted out of poverty. It's huge. The numbers are enormous. And a lot of that is driven through just a level playing field, the same rules we all apply. That's ultimately the WTO's job. Lots of other jobs, but that is ultimately what it's the guardian of. So it's in our interest to support that and promote it and contribute to it and participate and have our say. And for the UK, we need to up the game in many ways and get more companies involved. Too often I come into these forums and there just aren't enough of us speaking on behalf of the UK. There's an enormous interest in what companies have got to say. There's a huge hunger and demand for UK expertise. But actually, we're just not there in numbers, and key sectors are not represented at all. Companies outside the London circuit are not represented too often. So there's a fantastic opportunity here to kind of come down, understand what it's all about, learn and build skills and knowledge and expertise, and contribute to actually shaping what that business agenda is all about.
Can I just add to that, just to kind of flag the traditional role of the UK here at the UN and what you're doing now, that you have an amazing ambassador right now called Julian Braithwaite, who is the chairman of the services committee. And services are about 75 or 80% or more of your economy in the United Kingdom. And there, the UK government is inviting UK businesses to present ideas about how we can do more to get out there and build an agenda and address barriers to make sure that playing field is level for your businesses as you go out in the world and compete, and you have the traditionally great diplomatic service of the UK behind you right now. It's just working yourself into the new role of having a voice, because even up until now, you articulate your views through Brussels, and you're going to need to learn very, very fast how to do that through the UK government. So that's one role that I would see for the ICC, United Kingdom, to step up and make sure. I know you're trying, but it will take all the businesses to step up as well to make sure that they are articulating their views in an educated way to the WTO.
Yeah, it's a very good point. You know, I bet you if you are companies across the UK, 9 times out of 10, they would have no idea actually the UK is in the hot seat on trade and services, which is a hot agenda both for the UK but for many other countries around the world as well. We actually had Julian in London in the summer talking about what the sort of priorities are from the services group. We're meeting him again on Wednesday with a few companies that are with us down here in Geneva. But really, we're after more. So if you're listening to this and you're interested, get in touch, because there really is not enough of us around the table. Julian is certainly interested to work with UK companies and others from around the world. I'm actually meeting him with my US counterpart, our colleagues in the US on Wednesday to hopefully engage the US companies into the dialogue as well.
Thank you both. The WTO's Ministerial Conference and G20 are both in December in Buenos Aires this year. What can we expect from both of them? What are we fighting for and why?
In my view, UK companies are looking for the same thing from both fora there. When you look at G20, you have a subset, a representative set of big economies in the world who make policies, businesses involved in that process, trying to assert that level playing field, international system, open markets in finance, in trade, in all aspects of economic interaction are to be joined up in an effort to have international rules. And when we turn to the WTO, this ministerial takes place every 2 years when all the ministers come and the private sector can participate as they wish through their trade associations and sometimes indirectly. But the issue is, when you say what are we fighting for, we are fighting for level playing field. We're fighting for access to international markets so that UK companies can compete and create jobs and expand jobs and increase wages in the UK doing what they are best at, while you import from other countries what you're not good at. So you have this optimal balance of imports and exports. Now, that system is being questioned as to whether the WTO and its rules are up to the task. And earlier, just last week, the U.S. Trade Representative, Ambassador Lighthizer, suggested that the WTO is not up to the task, but said that the United States is very much in favor of an international level playing field, so very much consistent with what the UK has always been saying, and that it believes that we do not have one now, so the field is not level, and we need to work together to address those barriers to make sure that trade is not only free trade, but fair trade and balance. So I think if those questions are being raised, there's no better alliance to start to look at those things than with the United States and the UK and the traditional free traders coming together to try to improve that system. Once again, not to just drop empty criticism, but to have some proactive and positive suggestions that can be implemented to try to improve the situation. So I think that's what we're fighting for, to preserve that system that's brought us this far and to improve that system. And the only way to improve the system, really, is with input from the stakeholders who are really only the businesses. If businesses don't chip in with ideas, observations, and identifying the barriers and coming up with solutions and communicating those to their governments, we are not going to have a solution that works. So that's the ICC, United Kingdom, has its work cut out for it in that sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think what is the moment is a bit of a disconnect. You know, if you listen to the UN, what's called the UN 2030 Agenda, Sustainable Development Goals, those are sort of 17 key goals that the global governments have decided that are what they want to solve by 2030, and that includes ending poverty and improving on climate change, etc. I think there's a bit of a disconnect between those macro agendas, the G20 trade and economic agendas, and then the WTO. And you see this all the time, where governments are committing to one set of agendas and one set of priorities, but then actually going home and then doing something different. So I think there's a real need for businesses to just keep showcasing and highlighting to governments that we do need consistency in the application of commitments and rules. And there's a perfect case in the press all over the UK at the moment, which is around Uber. So Uber's got 50,000 drivers in London alone. That's an enormous amount of employees, stroke workers, operating across the sort of cab zone, if you like, taxi zone. They've been barred by Transport for London. But whether they should or shouldn't have been barred is a really good question. Ultimately, it's a big US foreign investor in the UK market, very, very important market for Uber and an important company for the UK economy. Should they or shouldn't they have been barred, or should there be more probing questions around how the market has been regulated and the responsibility of government to create a level playing field with common rules for all players? And the regulator following those government instructions, or blame the company. At the moment, it looks in the face of it as if the company is being blamed. Now, maybe there are responsibilities there or not, but I think there's a genuine debate there to be had about how the UK is applying what would normally be a global set of rules and the treatment of a foreign investor company. And that's not alone that case. You see those sorts of cases all over the place at the moment. And that's the kind of thing that we need to keep flagging, real cases in real time. Why are they being treated in this kind of way and approach when we're actually signed up at a global level to treating companies in a different way?
Yeah. Now, Jonathan, one of your first questions was what should international investors think about Theresa May's speech in Florence. If I were an investor, I would be more worried about how Uber is being treated in London than Theresa May's speech. They're both important, but you know, facts on the ground show exactly what Chris just mentioned, that standard set of transparent rules that are being applied neutrally and objectively to all the players in the market, and that's not a very good sign for attracting investment if you're in the UK. So that there's got to be some kind of greater government intervention, and maybe you need to have some other regulations that address concerns about level playing field within the UK, but going about it in this way sends, in my view, a fairly negative signal to investors who want to be treated in some transparent and predictable way.
Yeah, and if you scale that up, that's exactly what you've seen over the last 2 years, actually. Barriers to trade, barriers to investment are on the increase, and the WTO has been monitoring exactly that movement, and there's no sign of any end to that trend at this point in time. So the sort of macro agenda is the trading environment is getting harder. The operating environment is getting harder, a little bit more uncertain. It's not so sure where there was surety before, there isn't necessarily surety now. There are question marks where they perhaps weren't before. And all of that has an impact on whether a company wants to invest or whether it doesn't. It makes a difference between a business case and an investment in one market versus another market. It sends signals, as Dan is saying, and that's incredibly important. You scale it up, you start talking about huge numbers. Big companies, lots of jobs, lots of investment across many, many markets. So we've got to try and settle out that environment and try and encourage companies, hold their feet to the fire to some degree, to make sure that there aren't these discrepancies so the companies can feel confident and the voting public and public at large can feel confident actually that companies are not there breaking the rules for no reasons. They're actually there genuinely to try and create jobs, prosperity, and well for everybody.
Thank you for your time today, both. You've been listening to the World Business Podcast from ICC United Kingdom. Thank you for listening.